John chapter number 6, starting in verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for our young people. God, thank you for getting them back and forth to Indianapolis again safely. Thank you for the lessons that you taught them. Thank you for using them. And God, we hope and trust that they pleased you with their attitudes, their hearts, and their work. Lord, I pray as we look at this passage now, God, you would speak to us through it. And God, we need to hear from you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Familiar passage it shows up in three of the four Gospels. As we've been going verse by verse through the book of John, we'll go verses 15 through 21 tonight. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Why would they make him a king? What just happened? Lydia, do you remember what just happened? Do you remember what happened last week? You can just peruse backwards. Anybody remember? They fed 5,000 people. Oh, I'm sorry, that was 2 weeks ago. We had the social media dilemma last week. But 2 weeks ago, we fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the people are like, this guy's doing things. He's talking about things. We want to make him a king. Christ perceived that, it says. Isn't it something how the Lord knows our thoughts? Amen. Does that scare you a little? God knows what you're thinking. That could be both good or bad. It could be good in the way that Lord knows my heart. Although the efforts didn't turn into what I had hoped, but I tried. God sees that. He perceives our thoughts. Or we can make something look like one thing, but on the inside it's something different. Hey, just remember that the Lord knows what you're thinking. As we read this, what did he perceive? That they would come and take him by force at this point, not to do him harm, but to make him a king. Christ didn't need man to make him a king. He was born a king. Isn't that good? John chapter number 7, look in verse 30. In John 7, 30, they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because, why? His hour was not yet come. We've mentioned it multiple times throughout the passages. Christ would one day turn himself over to the wishes of mankind, but today is not that day. He would not allow them to make him a king. If we study in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, the people wanted a king. Do you remember this? They were led by judges. They were really being led by God. And they denounced the theocracy. The most perfect government is this, theocracy. Say, what does that mean? That means God is in charge of us. And that's what Israel had. And they said, no, that's not what we want. We want to be, now listen, young person. The whole nation said, we want to be like everybody else. We want a man in charge of us. Hey, be careful. Be careful that you not look around and be fooled by what the world is offering and say, yes, that is what I want. Well, God allowed Israel to have a king. It wasn't for their better. It would have been better for God the Father to be their king. Theocracy is always better than a monarch. It's better than a republic. It's better than a democratic republic. Thank you, Brother Rodell. They demanded Christ to be a king. They wanted him to be a king. Why? Because he fed them. He fed them. But the Bible says he departed again into a mountain himself alone. I don't think you should, I think there's two sides to being alone. Sometimes when we face stresses and problems, I just want to be alone. I just need to be alone. And that can go from, I understand maybe an idea, I just got to get my mind in the right spot, I just need to recover, but that can get dangerous. You can be so alone Things start not connecting right up top. So what do you think Christ was doing when he was alone? Hey, listen, I enjoy fellowshipping with one another. I love our church family. I love getting together and praying. But there is no comparison with time alone with God. And I think that's what Jesus was doing. I think he was just getting alone with the Father. In Matthew chapter 6, we're told, go there, hold your hand in John chapter 6, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6, 6, let us remember this. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That's alone. Hey, I'm all in favor. Every single Wednesday night we have public prayer meeting. We meet together. We bring up prayer requests one with another. But there's something to this too. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Is there time when it's just you and God? Pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee, how? Openly. I bet that's what Christ was doing. I bet he was getting away to just talk to the Father for a little bit. John chapter number 6 and verse 16. And when even was come, that's the evening, his disciples went down under the sea. If I could make a spiritual application here. There are times in all of our lives, in the journey of life, when we must go through the storms of life. Chloe, how old are you? 11. I don't want to burst your little bubble of world, but there's going to come some hard times in life. It's just part of life. And here we see the disciples. They thought they were just going to the sea. We talked about it this morning. By occupation, many of these men were what? Fishermen. Not just like on the shore casting a line in. They had boats. They knew how to navigate the Sea of Galilee. They were very familiar with it. But in John chapter number 6, when the even was now come, his disciples went down under the sea. I promise you there will be storms and valleys of life. And entered into a ship, the Bible says in verse 17. Look now, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Now it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. So here they are in a ship, in the sea, and it's dark. Those are two things I do not want to coincide. Number one, I'm not a big fan of boats. Number two, I don't want to be in a boat at night. And because the storm rolls in, GPS, I'll just let you know, GPS hasn't been discovered yet. You would use stars, you would use moonlight, you would use things like that to help navigate. You would have to look up to navigate. But when a storm rolls through and all the lights go out, it's tough to navigate. Hey, have you ever been there in real life? Say, what do you mean? In a dark room? No. Going through life and all of a sudden things got a bit dark. All of a sudden things got a little stormy. And you begin to question, what am I doing here? Why am I here? God, what are you trying to teach me? I find it's an awful, unusual time to be rowing a boat across the Sea of Galilee. I would be the one to say, let's wait till morning. But Jesus, according to a parallel passage, Mark chapter number 6, told them to go do this. How about that now? We get ourselves in trouble. We make some decisions contrary to the Word of God. And you know what? There's consequences to that. But that's not what this is. This is complete and absolute obedience to Jesus Christ himself. He said, get in the boat, go across the sea. And then it was dark. And then it got stormy. How about that? This isn't you looking back and going, man, I knew I shouldn't have made that decision. This is, I'm obeying the Lord, and I'm in the dark, and amid the storms of life. There will be times that we are sent to travel at night across life's sea. And it's specifically stated, and Jesus was not come to them. Say, well, my Bible says the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. He's aware of where they're at. The sea is 10 miles across, and they're about 3 miles in. In verse 18, it says, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Look at verse 19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, that's about 3 to 3.5 miles. So how could this get any worse? They see Jesus walking on the sea. Parallel passage says they thought it was a spirit. Say, what is that? What does that mean? They thought it was a ghost. So here you are at night in the sea. An awful wind comes up. You're rowing as hard as you can. And now, off the bow comes someone walking on the water. Hey, when the storms of life come, can I encourage you in verse 19? Keep rowing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hey, you can never, I'm telling you, you can't calm a raging storm. But you can keep going. I think way too many Christians have abandoned ship when Jesus was on his way. They were afraid. The Bible says, and they were afraid. Say, wimps, are you kidding me? You're grown men living in your own house. You hear something rustle off to the side. You're sending your wife to go check on what it is. These guys are in a boat in the dark in the middle of a storm, and there's a person walking towards them. Yeah, they were afraid. You'd be frightened too. You know why they were afraid? Because they didn't know who was walking towards them. You know, there's a lot of people that fear God in an unhealthy way because they've never met the gentle shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know him as a Savior. They don't know that he died on the cross to pay for their sins. They just think he's standing over them with a 2x4 ready to smite them, and they're afraid of a God that has so much power. They don't know who he really is. They were afraid because they didn't know it was Jesus. In verse 20, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. I don't know if the Lord had a booming voice or what. Nah. We were just a couple weeks ago down by the shore in Jersey, and the kids were out swimming, and the waves were coming in maybe 3 feet high. Okay, 5 feet high. Nothing that we felt like we were in any mass danger. And we're standing on the shore calling out to the kids. It feels like to the wall, and they can't hear you because of the crashing waves. Jesus, somehow, in the midst of a storm at night, could get the information to him. It is I, be not afraid. Verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship. You know, it's a good idea that when Jesus wants to get in our ship, we let him in, right? Our tendency is, you put me here. I don't want to listen anymore. If it wasn't for you, Jesus, we'd still be on the shore. But here, they willingly received him into the ship. Can I encourage you, when you're in the dark, when you're in the storms of life, Jesus comes bidding, allow him to get in the ship. Keep rowing, but they willingly received him. Hey, it's good when we no longer have any more of our ideas. It's good when we get to the end of ourselves. It's good when we rely on the Lord. It's good then God leads and guides and directs. Hudson, how big is the Sea of Galilee? 10 miles across. Zeke, about how far are we in? 25 or 30 furlongs, which is about 3 miles. Isn't it a blessing that young people pay attention? It's so risky doing that. Excellent job. Excellent. So by math, we're about 6.5 to 7 miles from where we want to be. Jesus gets in the boat. Jesus gets into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land, whither they went. Say, that doesn't make sense. Can I say, if you can't swallow that pill, but you're okay with a man walking on water, you're okay with the previous 14 verses of feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but yet you read that and go, that can't be, that doesn't make sense. You didn't read the rest of the chapter. Because he can certainly get a boat immediately. So how do you know? He just walked 3.5 miles in the midst of the storm, on water, to a boat. It's something how the Lord can get us through trials. Our tendency is, get me out of this. And God said, no, we're just going to go right through. Hey, remember that. When you're praying, God, get me out of this. And he says, no, I'm in the boat. We're going through this. There's a big difference. The disciples learned a valuable lesson that day. Say, what was it? Well, if there's someone walking on the water, allow them in. But number two, keep rowing until Jesus comes. Don't quit. Say, well, it's dark, it's stormy, it's difficult. Yeah, that's part of life. That's part of the Christian life. Josh, that's part of the Christian life. Sometimes there's going to be dark, stormy times. Keep going. Don't abandon ship. I don't know what this week, I don't know what this month, I don't know what this year holds for you. Say, things are going pretty good right now. My daughter's about to get married, or we're about to do this, or we're getting ready to take a vacation. All right. Just take this thought, though, and just kind of file it away. Because there will be a time. A few moments, we're going to go out and go outside. It's nice out. Josh is going to get in the water, and we're going to baptize him. Say, what does baptism do? I said it this morning. It does this. It lets the entire world know that he is not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism, according to the scriptures, is not necessary for salvation. If a person gets baptized, that doesn't make them go to heaven. Nor does getting baptized keep someone from going to heaven. Baptism is simply an obedience and identification with Christ. And you know what? What that means is I'm not ashamed. I want my family, I want my friends, I want my church family to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I think that's awesome. So would you join me? We'll pray. We'll stand. We'll pray. And then we'll go out there. There's two ordinances in the church. Christ said this: I want you to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I want you to keep the Lord's Supper. That's what he demanded of us. And Christians have been doing this for the last 2,000 years. Remember in the book of Acts, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he says, believe. You believe before you're baptized. That's why we don't baptize babies. That's why, because there's no belief. It is simply an outward profession of a decision he made in his heart, to which we are 100% behind him and excited to see him grow in the Lord. Let's all stand. Hey, don't forget, in the storms of life, keep rowing. Keep rowing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for our young people. So love them. And God, Lord, as they served others, some that they never even got to see, God, truly they were serving you. And Lord, I pray you'd bless them for it. God, as we navigate through the journey of life, sometimes the storms come and it gets dark, and Lord, help us to keep going. God, give us the strength. We know that you can help us go through that immediately. Help us keep rowing until that day. Lord, I ask that you to bless us now, watch over us, protect us as we travel home, bless this special time, and that through all of it, you'd be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. I'll meet you outside. Mm-hmm.